The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, listen.
Get over here.
He's on fire.
Compton Essays ain't nothing to fuck with, but they all fuck with me. And bitch, I love it. Welcome to another episode of One Upsmanship. I'm Michael Swaim.
And I'm Adam Ganser. And I'm just...
Adam's very resigned.
Just
today.
Appreciating that. Cheating those
whoop-de-whoop,
facts.
Whoop-de-whoop, whoop-de-whoop. Let's get right into it. We're not nerds. We're cool guys. We have emerged, like many of you probably, from a fugue of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take some... deep breaths and put that out of our head, because it's not the topic today.
No, the nice thing is Incineroar fights for us now, though.
That's true.
Like, he fights for us.
For maybe the last 15 minutes, we've been debating the strategic pluses and minuses of, well, once he was our enemy, Now he's on our side.
How did you feel about Sonic, how he was rendered in this game?
I just feel like you don't... I thought you were generally asking how I feel about Sonic, and no. I was going to flip the table. This podcast is over.
I'm in love with him. Don't you know? Yeah. How did you feel about how he's rendered?
I feel like we should save it for a Smash Brothers episode, man. Do you mean... I'll answer, though. Do you mean visually?
No, I mean as a game...
Don't know, because I
haven't gotten
play
to play
him yet.
I played him yet. Okay, yeah. Great.
You played him. Controller hog.
I was a controller hog, but I did use him to acquire Incineroar, who now fights for us.
Incineroar. Oh, you have an Incineroar? Now we have an Incineroar. Guess what, Hans?
He likes fighting
I've
for us.
I've got an Incineroar. Just in the vents with your Incineroar. Well, today we're covering...
a very different game. Not really that different, actually.
Wait. We settled on...
we're going to be covering Super Mario World today.
Okay. Because I was going to say, that's not that different.
No, it's
not. There was another one we were debating covering that is very different. But no, we settled on Super Mario World. Which I do plan on releasing these in roughly the order we recorded them.
Oh, interesting.
So by now you will have heard our SNES versus Genesis episode.
Yes, I hope so.
In which Super Mario World featured heavily as a wedge issue threatening to divide this very podcast in twain.
I mean, really what it was used as is a sort of qualitative measuring stick.
Yes.
Through which a lot of other games of that generation were measured.
That's true.
Yeah.
But now I get to set my Sega fandom aside and just admit that it's one of the best games ever made, which is going to be nice.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. I think you should probably take the first rant.
The speed run?
No, I'll take the speed
run.
Oh,
you're going to take it. Okay.
Because I need some time to think of a rant.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Full disclosure.
Heavily prep.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah. He didn't prep when we were playing. We were acquiring Incineroar instead of prepping.
My mind was focused on a laser.
Yeah.
Focused on a laser? Like a laser. Unlike now.
You were using that laser a lot.
Pass that chickity chicken checkpoint. And it's been a game called Super Mario World that came out what year, Adam?
1990.
Interrupt me. 1990. Well, later than I thought. I would have thought 89. I don't know why that's a big difference, but features Jumpman repurposed in a way that I think really undermines the entire Jumpman story, world, and legacy. But I guess we're all fine with this. So Jumpman becomes Mario. Great. Mario is, I don't even believe... Yeah, that's the movie polluting my mind. We don't see him in the normal world, and then he goes to Mario Land. He just exists in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
He looks like a human. We assume he's a plumber because of things like instruction manuals and his overalls, and that there are pipes.
Right.
But I'm going to say, I think this is a fresh take on Super Mario World. I'm just going to say what we know for sure.
Right.
A small man in overalls. Locates a princess in a pink dress repeatedly.
Yeah.
He uses many items to do this. He stomps on turtles and animate things that only have eyes and mouths and feet, no other appendages, called Goombas, which is a slur for Italians, which Mario appears to be. I don't know what that means, but maybe there's something there.
Is this a speed run or like a strange editorial?
Switch... palaces, ghost houses, Bowser castles, airship, you're done. Everyone, there's no point in doing a speedrun.
There is no airship in this. That's in Mario 3.
There's no point in doing a speedrun for Super Mario World is my point, so let's move on to your rant. I think everyone knows where we're at. It's like we wouldn't have to speedrun Tetris, really, would we?
No.
Same deal. I think it's reached that level of legacy. Yeah.
So...
Checkpoint.
Yeah. So for my rant, I'll say that... I do think Super Mario World is the best thing Mario's ever made. Like, I think it's the best Mario game overall. It is not my favorite. My favorite is Mario 64. But I think it's the best game because...
Luigi Lost in Time doesn't do it for you.
Even Luigi's Haunted Mansion didn't quite scare up a victory for me. No, I think this is the best game, and it's part because it's just very refined and polished. Like, if you compare it to Mario 3, which was not that much earlier, it's a lot more focused. It's a lot more robust. It's not quite as imaginative as Mario 3 in some ways. It's actually a little less imaginative. But everything they do much better than any Mario game before and maybe since. I think that this is the best side-scrolling platforming game ever made, probably. I can't think of one that's better. I can't separate the experience of having been a kid when this came out and playing it for the first time and beating it in a week and thinking it was the best thing I'd ever seen. So I don't know how good it is to a 10-year-old now, but I know that having played it recently, it is the first Mario game that is still fun to play for controls. Like, it's tight. The controls are really good. Whereas a lot of the earlier Mario games are still a little floaty comparatively. This is the one that introduced Yoshi, and I think Yoshi is now an inseparable character from the Mario-verse, and I think it was a good introduction because it was a fun new way to play
the game. Not the Mario world? It's the Mario-verse?
I think now.
All right.
Right? Since this game's called Mario World, I don't know. This is also a game that made me go, like, what? Does Mario ever have a consistent world at all? Because I would say this is the game that suggests that they don't. They don't have a consistent world at all. Like, it's not in the Mushroom Kingdom. It's in Dinosaur Land or whatever. The Mushroom Kingdom's
technically,
not even...
you still see tons of toads, and a lot of the landscape is mushrooms.
Right.
But actually, Japanese culture and art has always loved the mushroom more than we have. So, like, mushrooms are not a weird thing in a Japanese game.
No, but this game, I don't think nominally even takes place in the Mushroom Kingdom.
No. They say it's Dinosaur Land because Yoshi lives there and he's not home. You hit the coconut
and
thing.
And you're trying to rescue his babies.
Wait. I think I just realized something new about Super Mario World now, which is probably fairly rare to happen. The blue blocks that make, information come up.
Yeah, the info blocks.
Is the logo on it, is that a PA speaker?
Yes, it's a speaker.
I always thought it was a pie, and who cares, it's Mario. You know what I mean?
So,
like, my brain didn't need to know why it made sense.
I want to talk about what the world in Super Mario World suggests about the larger Mario narrative, because it does suggest some things, but we're not going to do that now.
Time.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to do that now. I think this game is also the end of the 2D platform era in some ways, because they made they still make them, and they've made them since, but there really hasn't been another contender that
who's
can beat
they,
it.
Nintendo, or all of gamingdom?
All of gaming.
Okay.
I mean, I think Rayman is a strong contender, but they even Nintendo stopped making good side-scrolling platformers after this.
2D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they went straight into 3D. Like, this was sort of the penultimate of it, or the culmination of it. I don't know what else to say other than the cape is less good to me than the raccoon tail, and I know that people are going to disagree with that. And I like the music in this the best of any Mario, I think. And that is it.
My turn. I'm going to do the whole thing like a Mario. No,
oh,
don't worry. Don't
God.
Worry. Don't worry. We're done. I'm going to do it like Wario.
now we have a choice.
I'll agree with you. The cape is, to this day, and I think it's intentionally so, it's a little wonky to control, but that's part of the challenge of collecting the whole column of coins is, the cape's a little tough. You got to really get a good run. And the raccoon tail makes more sense, like tap to fly is kind of...
Well, they abandoned that kind of flying style in Mario 64 for something much closer to the raccoon tail.
Right. You know? So my rant is that Super Mario World, I agree. This is one of those episodes where it's more of an analysis than a review because our format goes both ways, baby. And I think it's clear that we're both going to like keep the game.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to dispense with that layer of...
Right.
If you want to hear us fight, go to the SNES versus...
Go to Sonic CD.
Genesis. You'll get it. You'll get what you came for, you animals. But I think it's, as I said last night off mic, it's like the diehard of... Mario's like diehard. That's what I'm getting at. In that... All the diehards behind the scenes were just generic action movie screenplays that then got massaged to be a diehard because Die Hard was a franchise that was considered a good bucket.
Right.
Like John McClane could do lots of different things.
Right.
You just have to tweak it here and there, let Bruce Willis be a dick on set and say what he does, and it'll have consistency. And sometimes it works and sometimes it really doesn't, but Super Mario World is the diehard where it's like, this was always meant to be a Die Hard / Mario.
Yeah.
It's clearly conceived with the same kind of discipline that Nintendo now applies because they have the luxury to all their AAA games like Breath of the Wild or Mario Odyssey. I feel like this is the first time they weren't scrambling in the infancy of the industry to make Mario rise above the others. Like,
no.
Mario 1 and 2, Mario is still like, I don't know who's going to win, Mario or Sonic.
Well,
and
2 is a straight-up port of a different franchise.
And that's what gives me the diehard comparison is, Mario 2 literally is that, which is why you're yanking turnips out of the ground and the princess floats. And
right,
you're like,
and you're in a dream world.
That won't be relevant again until Smash Brothers, where she floats as an homage to this.
Yeah.
But I do think this is the first one where you can really feel the trademark. Actually, Super Metroid, you kind of feel it, but it's intentionally retro. But Super Mario World feels like they've fully developed the trademark Nintendo formula that I think underpins all that they do nowadays.
Yeah.
And furthermore, it's the first game ever graphically where things were detailed enough to look like a cartoon. And I think we could easily underestimate how important that was. It didn't look like a stack of pixels at all anymore. It looks like it was detailed enough to look like a doodle with colors filling it in. And that reminds a kid brain of, like, and at that age, it was a real thing, Saturday morning cartoons. So, like,
yeah, that's true.
It felt like an immersive world visually in a way that no game leading up to it had. Every game I played up to that point, it was like Super Mario World felt like seeing a Pixar movie for the first time.
Yeah, it did.
Even more than 64, which makes more sense because it's 3D rendered, but I mean like the big, bold, bright colors, the fact that Mario was like larger, like he was rendered larger.
Just a little bit, yeah.
He looked like a full body. Like,
there was just like slight changes to like his movement, like his hat would blow back a little bit, and like
he became more discernible as like a corporately designed icon. Like he started to look more like Mickey Mouse and less like pixels assembled functionally with no real purpose.
I think you're right to say, I mean, I don't,
and I think that was important.
I don't
step on I'll leave it there. Let's go past Well, the checkpoints in this are just finishing levels, right?
You're just going through that weird ticker tape thing that is always scrolling up and down.
I think we should go to Vanilla Zone, I believe 1-2, and collect 99 lives. You know that trick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
It might be Donut Land somewhere, but we'll go get the pee.
Yeah.
We'll double back. We'll get all the coins and we got 99 lives, so Game On's gonna be very safe. I've removed all tension from this episode.
Sure have. I think I want to say that I agree with you that this is not a game as much about telling what Mario is or can
game
be.
Game on!
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, this game isn't really trying to establish the rules of Mario or anything or compete against other platformers, because it isn't really at this point. Like, Sonic doesn't exist yet when this game comes out.
And they're so different. It was still,
right.
2D platforming was still the Wild West. Like,
right.
You could invent a new thing.
But this game is clearly about, we're going to polish and perfect what we've done up to this point.
It was. I would say platforming at the time Mario World came along was already a dominant genre, but it was
right.
Like in the midst of its 20s. It wasn't. Now it's weird. We think about it as it's almost an extinct genre. Like
it's a throwback genre.
It had a short lifespan, but
right.
This was the period, you're right, where you could still invent, like, No, 2D platforming would be more fun and efficient this way.
Right.
It wasn't all figured out already.
Right. It's like the Western now. Like,
yeah.
In movies. Like,
mm-hmm.
Western, you see them once in a while, but
right.
They are, oh, we're doing a Western. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, that's what it is. Okay, so I just want to, like, go back and remember the things that were unique to this game for the time and see if you think they matter now still. So one of them is big enemies. Like, this, one of the things that this changed was there were giant enemies and objects and stuff that could be rendered in better time and space. So, like, there was a giant bullet that flies.
That's the one I think ever. I don't remember many others.
There's a lot of things, like the giant boo and the.
There's a big boo. That's true.
And just a bunch of things like
but,
that.
But I remember very clearly that the giant bullet.
Right.
It's so funny because kids, you damn kids listening, will be like, yeah, that. That's nothing, man. Cause,
of course not.
The way I felt when I saw my first Colossus in Shadow of the Colossus, I was that impressed when I just saw a large bullet bill
right.
for the first time. I was like, oh, I didn't know it could render a thing that
like,
large.
Like, holy shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. And then when
that
you,
was the point of
and
it.
And then you're like, should I jump on it? It's so big. I'm sure I'll just die. And you're like, no, I can kill them.
By the same tactic. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really rewarding.
Yes.
It's like, oh, yeah, I'm stomping on fools left and right.
The bigger they come, baby.
But that happens in the first level.
Right.
Like that giant bullet. Because it's a
Super
statement.
Super Mario World pulls out all the stops. And I think you're right. It's a quantum leap forward in polish. Like, if you listen to the number of layers the score has versus the number of layers
definitely.
Mario 3
That's
has.
That's a huge change.
It's the equivalent of they're like, you know what? This is our prestige thing. Let's bring the London Philharmonic in. We're not fucking around. The score was very advanced for the time.
It's also, I would argue, a little less. Like, the score for Mario World is never trepidatious in any way or mysterious or rote in the way that, like, Mario 3 had some scores that were kind of dark. or even like a little bit melancholy. And Mario 1 certainly did.
They really don't nail the melancholy till Mario 64.
No, and yeah. I think that might not even be intentional. I'm not sure. It works, but it's, I don't know.
I think it's intentional in Breath of the Wild. So whether 100%. It was intentional in 64, they, because you know how it works. Like, people who worked on Breath of the Wild probably grew up playing Mario 64.
Right.
And I'm sure some of them are like, there was something really melancholy and like vacant about Mario 64.
We gotta have that again.
I want that in here. Yeah.
And they were right about that. So big items. The second is the Z-axis, right? Like a moving Z-axis.
All right. Euclid. All right, Copernicus. Okay, Pythagoras.
Why don't you stop calculating the curvature of the Earth and come back down to the rest of us?
Euclides. I don't recall a use of the third dimension in Mario World.
So parallax is what I mean by that.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, but that was a big selling point was
yeah.
that
but explain
oh,
the, to
background,
the, people the,
term. The background of these games moves at a different speed than the foreground does, which sounds like so. It means that you feel like you're in a realer world than you did in Mario 3 or 1 or 2, right? It's yeah. like a huge leap technologically forward that they have multiple layers
Have you ever
of
seen
distance.
The amazing way like Fleischer tunes used to accommodate that or
no.
like accomplish that in black and white cartoons? So like there's old Popeye cartoons and a bunch of cartoons, Sinbad and the Sails of Seven Seas was one. But there's this amazing technique I do suggest you look up on YouTube where they would accomplish parallax
right.
in old cartoons by building a real set that's a circle
oh.
on a Lazy Susan and have animation cells
that's
propped
so
up
cool.
around the edge and switch them out as the set rotated. So like Popeye's walking and the background is a claymation set that has real parallax.
That's so good.
It looks so good.
I love that.
And then, you know, he uses racial epithets against Japanese people.
And
or
I don't
whatever.
Love that as much.
And that's why you don't see the cartoon, but
right.
that technique is cool.
They ever decide why he has like forearm cancer? His forearms are insane.
Oh, that's if you join the Navy, that's their promise. You'll come out looking like Cloud Strife. So
neat. I'm sure that Super Mario World didn't invent the parallax thing in video games. Like, I'm sure that didn't happen.
I wouldn't be shocked if a historian told me that Nintendo programmers were the first to someone had to develop the code that made it possible.
Right.
And Nintendo was, you know, I don't know.
There's probably some PC game somewhere or some like 8-bit game that tried it or something. You know what I mean? Like
PCs usually lead the way on
yeah.
like things that require. Oh, the computer, the brain has to be even faster. A PC is going to get there before
right.
a console, yes.
Nonetheless, I feel like that was one of the things that in the commercials and stuff, when you saw it, you're like, oh, wow. So like
even if you didn't know it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The size of the enemies, the colorfulness of it that you mentioned, the use of parallax. And then like just as gameplay stuff, it didn't have as much stuff to do in it as Mario World or Mario 3. Like there were less power-ups? There were less variety of experiences?
Shroom, flower, cape, feather. Cape and feather are one of the
They're
same.
One thing. And Yoshi.
That's it.
And spin jump. You have the spin jump, which you didn't have
that's
before.
That's true. Yeah, which can break bricks beneath you, which is usually only used to get Yoshi coins, which is another new thing.
Sure. That's a very mild thing.
But you're
thing.
Right. Three had like the trident and the boot with the
it had so many things. Hammer Brothers. You could be a Hammer
yeah.
Brother. There were two different kinds of raccoon tails.
Odyssey is sort of a return to three
in that way,
philosophically.
Yes.
Yeah, I do think you're right that Mario is their Mickey Mouse very clearly in the
right.
sense that Mario Kart is Mario Kart is Mario Kart. Smash Brothers is Smash Brothers is Smash Brothers. Mario's always going to be running around, but he might do a variety of things, you know.
When do you
he
think
he might throw a sunshine at you, et cetera, et cetera. And I think when Odyssey came out, it was like, wow, this is a real departure. But now when I think about 3, it's kind of not.
No, that's why Odyssey was great.
It's spiritually
it felt
related
perfectly
to 3.
In tone with Mario. So I want to ask a question. When do you think Mickey became the way we think of Mickey now? Like, when do you remember Mickey being first realized that way and not as the 2D whimsical character?
I'm going to answer that, but I also want to make a note that I still want to go back and talk about Yoshi.
Yeah, sorry. No,
as
we
a
need
power
to.
Up,
yeah,
in
yeah.
the context of being a power up, not as a character.
Right.
But what do you mean? I mean,
so
do
like,
you mean when he was redesigned? Because Steamboat like, Willie obviously doesn't look like the modern
right,
Mickey.
But also the tone of what Mickey is.
Or do you mean this hip-hop Mickey with the saggy jeans
no.
sewn into the back of my jeans?
That's Mickey trying to be Sonic, and I'm not into that. Because there's only one Sonic, and one might argue there shouldn't be any Sonics at all. I would. So I'm just gonna instead of setting
wait,
you up.
Wait, what?
I'm gonna say this.
What the fuck did you just say? Wait. Let's go back a second.
Sorry.
See, quick, usually quick I like out. To be fast, but this time I feel like I missed something.
Yeah. No. So I feel like Mickey became Mickey in Fantasia. Like that's like the earliest version I can remember where Mickey was a little bit of a dope, you know. And
oh,
like,
you mean his character?
Yeah,
traits?
His character and the way he looks.
The look, I think. That's true, and it's very Mario appropriate because Fantasia was one of the first times where they're like, Mickey is going to reenact this. I mean, it is an old legend of the
right.
Sorcerer's Apprentice,
right.
But Mickey stars in it, and
right.
That's, of course, now you're off to the races. Well, Mickey's our guy who can be anything and anything. It's almost like his world is a play, like Mario.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's why I was bringing it up, is that I feel like in
he's
some ways...
He's become an icon that transcends reality and just represents our brand.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what, like, that moment, that Fantasia moment for Mickey mm-hmm. is what Super Mario World is for Mario, to me.
And what do you think gets it there? Is it because, is it accumulation of everything we've said? Or is it because he's in Dino Land? Like, what is...
It's not Dino Land.
What opens him up to now we can put him in anything?
I think it's that every choice they made was done well enough that you were never bummed about any of the places you had to go. So like Mario 3, there was a lot of amazing things in it, but there were levels that were really difficult and frustrating and you didn't enjoy doing.
It did. It had that old school gaming feel
yeah.
that arcades had where it's like punishing, no save
yes.
points, get good at it, nerd.
Go back and play the last level and don't cheat.
Yeah.
The last level to get to Bowser.
Yeah.
It's a fucking slog. It's really hard and frustrating.
Super Mario. Well, man, we didn't even mention Super Mario World. Blew my mind by introducing save points. That changed my whole fucking life. Did 3 have?
3, you could save by each world, I want to say. Like, you saved.
Yeah, but I mean, this was pause anytime. Every level.
Right. It did
notch
have that.
In your belt, save. Because
yeah,
I think that represents a clear change industry wide. It's realizing that the world of arcades, where you punish the player because you're trying to get tokens per minute,
right?
To no, we want to basically, we just want them orgasming all the time because they're just gonna buy our game and then
yep.
own it.
Yep.
So we just want the game to be
fun.
The player is always having a
should
blast.
Always be fun.
And then of course, if there's old school players who are like, but I like hard games. There's a niche for that. You got Darksiders or whatever. I'm sorry, what's it called?
No, you're
Souls.
Right.
Dark Souls.
To further illustrate that, early in this game, in Super Mario World, they give you a stage in the middle of the second world that's just a place you can get free power-ups the rest of the game.
Right, you can like, always come back.
And you can
just
always power up. No, it's not a secret.
It's self-evident when you find it. Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a secret. And it saves every time you make any change to the map at all,
yeah.
which is great. And compare that to Mario 3... You had to know where all the tricks were, and some of them were like, oh, you have to hold down for 5 seconds, and you can fall behind the backdrop, and that's
because
something.
There's just a broken pixel.
Well, but yeah. It was designed on purpose to do
on
that.
On purpose, but I mean, it's like, it doesn't make intuitive like sense in the way that you would solve a puzzle.
Right.
You would have to stumble upon it, or your
right.
friend at school tells
knew,
you.
Knew about it.
My
right.
friend stumbled on this, and I heard,
right.
and here, do this.
Right.
Yeah.
That is a different... That's the game designer saying, listen, we're not trying to make this hard for you.
Or did you ever call the 1-900 Nintendo
helpline? No,
I
bought the books.
Oh, see.
I bought Nintendo Powers and stuff.
My parents wouldn't let me buy strategy guides because they thought it would shorten the games and we were poor and they didn't want to have to
mm-hmm.
buy a new game sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't understand. They weren't tech savvy enough
right.
to know that I could call a 900 number that would literally do like movie phone. I think a lot of people alive probably don't know
oh,
this.
I do remember this.
I'd call a 900 number
yeah.
and it would go. And so it would rack up because you'd have to be on it for 30 minutes to
yep.
get where you wanted. The one that is burned in my brain is type in the first 3 letters of the game. You typed in Willie Beamish. And I was like, yes. And they're like, are you at school in detention? Press 1. If not, press 2. And it went through
that's
this
so
point-and-click adventure
yeah, yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah.
Took like 20 minutes to get to like, I wanted to know how to solve the last puzzle in the game, you know?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Punishing.
Ooh. Punishing.
Punishing.
All right.
Anyway, the point being, Mario World, and I just realized this as you were telling me, Mario World is the first time that the video game designers were like, we don't need this to be hard. We'd rather it be fun.
Yes.
And that's
and
a huge change.
It represents a huge conceptual
yeah.
shift. between arcade thinking and console thinking.
Right. Right.
And we'll never go back, probably.
Well, again, I played both of those games back to back because I thought we might end up doing an episode about them both or whatever. And I thought Mario World was just way more fun. Like, I finished everything.
Man 3?
Yeah. I finished everything in Mario World easily. And Mario 3, I, like, dicked around in all the worlds and stuff, and I was like, yeah.
64 was the first game I ever felt compelled to 100%.
It was great.
Yeah.
Really good.
Speaking of Yoshi, bringing it back to Yoshi.
He was barely in 64, unfortunately.
But 100%ing is how you get him.
And you meet him.
But
yeah.
I want to talk about Yoshi vis-a-vis Super Mario World because I think even though there's... It's kind of like Gordon Ramsay says when he comes into these restaurants, these Cheesecake Factory-esque establishments, and goes, you can't handle this. Cut your overhead. Cut this ingredient. Pick your five best things. Pick one that's going to become, that's kind of unique, that could become a signature dish that people could only associate with your place. Have five things on your menu. Like, he's very much from the In-N-Out model of menu design versus the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a lot to be said about, like, skim milk was invented as a billion-dollar product by removing fat from milk, like by taking something away. Less is more in a powerful way sometimes. And I think Super Mario World re-Mario 3, it's so brilliant that they were like, we don't need a lot of these extraneous ones, but you know what we do need? Something that actually fundamentally changes your method of locomotion. Because that's something Nintendo understands so well and to this day that I think a lot of gamer designers don't understand, especially when you think of like middle shelf games that are on the coattails of other more notable games that fill the shelves and you play them and they did their best to get the idea of clicking and you swing a sword and the guy has a death animation. But they don't understand what was fun about shooting someone's leg in GoldenEye and their leg flies back.
Right.
You know, like, they don't understand the quintessential idea that the game interaction needs to be fun and or change what you're doing in some way. And Yoshi literally changed the element that up to that point only the plants could change, which is verticality. There were all kinds of secrets you could get by jumping off of Yoshi's back.
That's
as
true.
You jump from Yoshi.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, Yoshi represents something that I think Sonic does equally well, but which is always satisfying, which is Yoshi is kind of coins, or the rings system, before rings.
Yeah, like a single hit that
because
you keep
you
your powers.
Because you would get the same feeling of desperation as Sonic gets when you're grappling for your last coin, with like, no, Yoshi, don't fall off the cliff. Let me climb back aboard your elegant back, Yoshi.
He was much more of a mount in that game than he ever was after that.
And then
he wasn't cute in the same way.
And eating people. So yeah, he's one power up, but he's three power ups.
Right.
And because the tongue is also, of course, fundamentally changes the way you can deal with enemies. So Yoshi is actually three power ups, and all three of them make you do something functionally you didn't do before.
Yeah.
Which is that's the quintessence of what a good power-up is.
It was really fun, and it...
He's three in one!
You didn't... But you also... you organically experienced all his power-ups.
Yes.
They weren't like... There was nothing RPG about it, or like you had to figure it out. It was like, oh, this is the level that has all blue-shelled troops, so like your Yoshi's gonna fly. Oh, cool. And you need him to fly. Because that's how the level's designed.
Or you're like, you know, there's something high up there. Oh, like you kind of intuitively figure out, well, I've been jumping off Yoshi's back. I bet I could get up there.
There's not a lot of puzzles in Mario World that are brain twisters.
But they're puzzles in the Breath of the Wild way, where it's simply like realizing that you now effectively have a double jump because you're on Yoshi. That's just a physics concept puzzle. Yeah.
Yep. And now this is now in reach. Right. And that's the thing they do a lot. I mean, Metroid has a lot of that stuff, you know, like, effectively.
Metroid is, I think the way it's differentiated is it's so focused on gating.
Yeah.
Which Super Mario World obviously is not.
Super Mario World has some gating, though. Like,
well,
there are definitely
the
routes.
The map itself is a gate in some ways.
Well, and there are routes that you have to either get a power up or learn how it, like figure out the trick to it.
Or the,
you know?
Or the way is roundabout.
Right. Yeah. You know, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, I remember it was, but I liked the nature of the puzzles. I liked that I didn't read the instruction manual, if there even was one, I don't recall, and that I eventually figured out what the red dots meant, that there's two exits out of the level.
Yep.
I liked figuring that out myself.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about a couple other cool things about this game that were unique to it. I'm pretty sure that the ghost character...
Yeah, ghost houses have to be discussed.
But I'm pretty sure they were in Mario 3. Like, I think that the ghosts were in Mario
before. With the boot functionality where they chase you and your back is turned?
But I feel like the way we think of that character is exclusively based on how it was done in Mario World.
Well, what I wanted to bring up is I think it represented at that time the fact that a 2D platformer game can have variety of level types. Flash forward to Rayman Legends, and of course, your whole goal becomes unlocking those badass rhythm music-based levels. I think you flash back again. I'm taking you on a trip through time, baby.
I love that you're doing that.
flash back again, and we see JFK getting assassinated. Oh, that was too far. Very sad. Flash forward to the present. Well, 1990, I suppose. And my point was...
I'm waiting for you to arrive.
That the ghost houses actually are a puzzle level, because not only did I have to figure out how to get out of the ghost house using the,
it's always a little bit tricky.
Using the it's almost Inception-esque. Sometimes in the room looks identical, but there's a minor detail that lets me know it's a parallel version of that room with one block different, or a POW thing will do something that it did differently in the other room.
Right.
And you slow there. It's twofold. First, I can't think, other than simple bonus rounds where you like jump and get coins or power-ups, of any previous 2D platformer that said, you know what would keep it fun? A few different kinds of experiences.
I'm sure that there were, but not as seamlessly integrated as this.
Because you don't even bat an eye or think about it.
Like, I mean, Battletoads, for instance, has the jet ski levels versus the punch
very
levels.
Good
and
pull.
But they give you basically two different types of games. And Mario is always the same game in different styles.
You're doing the same things. Yeah. And I think it was the Ghost House thing was amazing for me, because as a kid, I remember the first layer of the puzzle is realizing even that it is a puzzle. Like, I would play it and just go through. I mean, I was a dumb kid. I'd go to the right, to the right, to the right until time ran out and be like,
what?
Is something wrong with this level? Am I glitching or something? Yeah,
right.
Like, I don't understand.
What?
You had to realize it was a puzzle and then figure the puzzle out, and you feel real accomplished when you do.
The fortresses also were usually puzzles.
And they feel tangibly different than your meat and potatoes levels, I'll call them.
I thought the fortresses were the single best improvement in this game as a level design thing. So, like, compared to fortresses in the previous Mario franchise.
Is Mario World the first to introduce dual side fences where you can flip to the back side? Like
the Z-axis.
It also shows that there... That would be Y.
No, it wouldn't. Z is the one
Z is the one that goes out into depth.
Yeah, and you're going further away from camera.
All right.
In theory.
But I mean, in the sense of a 2D platformer, what it gives you is the ability to travel on the Y-axis.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about axes anymore.
Can't wait to talk about...
He constantly brings up axes and points. And
let me see a Z-axis, buddy.
Don't get this guy going on elongated orbits. Never stops. Vectors and shit.
We have an Incineroar, and he fights for us.
Where once he opposed us, now he's our dearest ally and comrade. It's only funny to us because we're not Pokemon people, so neither of us know who Incineroar is.
I have no
is.
Idea what he does.
Yeah.
I've looked at him and I don't know him.
It's the equivalent of, because there's another guy on there, and this. It's like if someone leaned over and they're like, psst, don't worry, Hal Emmerich's on our team now. I'd be like, okay.
Cool.
Good. You want to see a picture? It looks like a dude in a suit. I don't know what that's from, but.
True.
But I think it also signals a change in their thinking. Where they're flying with the tail also does this, but there's such a robust interest in Super Mario World of ways to use the Y-axis.
Yeah. A lot more than in previous games.
A lot more intentional focus on it.
Yeah, and there's just better platforming throughout.
Yeah.
Like,
although 3 had all the levels where you could go above the top of the level, right? That's a little Y-axis fun.
I'm trying to think which levels those are that you're talking about.
In it might even be Mario 1 or 2.
Uh-huh.
There are a number of levels where if you break the bricks that border the top of the screen, you can jump out of the screen
and
go
Mario
all the
1
way
has
to the right.
That.
That's one.
That's where
one.
All the warps are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that happens in Mario 3,
3
too.
Is the flute.
Yes,
you got
the,
really
the magic.
He got really into fluting, yeah. Flautisting.
See, now you can't. The warping is another thing they got rid of in Mario World.
Right.
You don't really warp; you just find shortcuts.
Because it became less about, like we said, cheats that a hardcore gamer would eventually find,
right?
And more about, no, everyone come to Disneyland, everyone have a good
right.
time,
wander
yeah.
around the Star World and gain these Yoshis and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. That is absolutely what happened. Okay, so you want to hear a weird theory that I have about what Super Mario World means to the narrative of Mario?
Yeah, of course.
I think that Super Mario World is the only time we visit Bowser's home world.
You think Dino Land is Bowser's homeworld?
Yes.
Is
I
it
do.
Explicitly? I thought it was Yoshi's homeworld.
I think it is Yoshi's homeworld, but I don't. But I think they were both.
Well,
because
certainly
from the same homeworld.
All his babies be making castles out here.
Here are my reasonings for it. Yes,
uh-huh.
that's the
right.
biggest one.
Okay.
Is that he has all those children. Don't know why
or how.
And they've
gotten busy like claiming yes. land on this world.
Correct. They're all lieutenants of various areas in the land.
And are there others? Sorry.
Bowser is a dinosaur.
Yes.
Bowser's head is woven into a sea cave that rises from the ocean, right? Like, that's a pretty...
I'll grant you that.
That's a pretty big...
Like, why does he have that
there?
Sure.
Like, I know he's built castles and stuff in places, but...
That's my question is, in the whole Mario canon, though, aren't there Bowser castles, like, everywhere, wherever they want to be all the time?
Bowser building castles is not what makes it a home world.
Okay.
I think the fact that the landscape itself... is part Bowser, and that his children are the lieutenants of this place.
Also,
and that he's a dinosaur.
Also, can we talk about the fact that in this game, the hills have eyes?
They
like,
really
the
do.
The hills
yeah,
literally
why do
have,
they have
eyes.
Eyes. I don't
it's
know.
It's so fucking creepy. No, what does that mean? What does that mean about Dino Land?
I think that's the only ridiculous thing in this game. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, I
know.
Do love that someone at the end of the thing was like, you know what? Slap some googly eyes on those guys, too.
Right.
Really? Really? Everything's alive? Fuck it. Yeah, everything's alive. I don't care.
Right.
I'm Nintendo.
So that's like a weird relic from their first like manual,
right.
you know. So this is also the last place we really have the Koopa Troopas as your regular enemy. Like the Koopa Troopas.
They're in 64.
But no, they're you race one, who's a big one, and you see one or two. But
right.
they rarely are your enemy
and
anymore.
And now they've actually evolved to supporting cast.
Yes.
So in the new Mario games, they're NPCs you talk
yes.
to. You don't heartlessly crush their shells.
No, and I would argue this was the game where they decided that is true because all the times that you ejected them from their home, because you know when you jump on
yeah,
a Koopa Troopa,
it's a,
you
it's
spit out a wife beater.
Evicting a turtle.
Yeah, exactly.
You're evicting turtles.
I feel like after the events of this game... The Koopa Troopas are like, why are we fighting for Bowser? We're all losing our homes. You know what I mean? And that's why they wear masks when you pass all the way through the game and clear all the phases. They wear they wear Mario masks
because yeah.
they're on your team now.
They've turned. You've
yes.
earned their respect.
Yes.
So the Yoshis were the people on that planet who were always sympathetic to the Mario faction.
Or just neutral, you know? Yeah.
Well, they leave a note for you. So I
they
think...
They do.
He says, and he says... I left, I think, to oppose Bowser in some way, right?
I don't remember
or did he,
why.
I think he's just like, I'm out looking for some pies, come find me. But it's a flimsy excuse to say,
yeah.
I've been trapped in various eggs all over the world.
Well, Bowser kidnaps the eggs. In like,
yeah.
in theory, you're saving princess and eggs.
Right, so I guess what I'm saying is, I like the idea, and why wasn't this the live-action Mario movie? It totally works.
I don't know.
Princess tasks Mario with rescuing... these dino eggs. Mario is kind of Nedry-ish from Jurassic Park.
100%.
So Mario, played by Wayne Knight, because Bob Hoskins ain't no more.
Totally unappreciated in my time. Yeah.
Wayne Knight is approached by the princess, told to go to Bowser's homeland, infiltrate, and rescue these precious eggs, these
yeah.
dino eggs, because
yeah.
she's going to sell them to InGen.
Put them in his little shaving kit.
Yeah.
yeah.
And while he's there, Three Kings style, he gets involved in local situations, and he's like, no, we have to free these people
right.
from oppression. And he ends up winning over the basically the peasant faction of this society, which are the Koopa Troopas. They are the weakest.
The only fact that is even remotely in contradiction to what you're saying
yeah.
is the fact that you do rescue Princess at the end. She is in Bowser's weird clown ship that he rides.
That's
his clownocopter.
Oh, okay, how about this?
Yeah.
You are actually Nedry. You were there only for selfish reasons.
Right.
You promised not to get involved. Your heart's been burned too many times.
Right.
But the princess is there out of the goodness of her heart to use her powers to rescue these eggs.
Yeah.
And you're like convinced to join her side.
Yeah. So she was always...
I don't know.
I don't know. That's tough. That one's tough.
The other thing that I would need reconciled is... because do you talk okay in Odyssey Goombas are NPCs but they don't speak and you stack them and you do smash them
you kill the Goombas
you also stack them and get them to fall in love to get moons.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if Goombas are just like the generic scum of the universe that everyone in Marioverse. Like, it doesn't matter that he freed this planet. Yes, step on Goombas. Fuck Goombas. No one cares.
Right. Nobody cares about the Goombas.
I still think it's weird that this game's centered around a guy named Mario.
And they have a bad guy named the Goomba. I get it.
No, the thing you'll kill the most of that's clearly the weakest enemy at the bottom of society is a filthy Goomba.
I don't understand it.
He's a...
Why do they have weird bottom teeth like pit
he's
bulls?
A self-hating plumber on mushrooms. It's the taxi driver of our generation.
And that that's the theory that I think is the most logical if you want all of it to work. I'm trying to accept this thing on its own terms a little bit. And on its own terms, I do believe this is Bowser's home world, Super Mario World.
Yes.
I do believe that's where we
are. But I think a really dark movie... where a guy named Mario lives in a bad part of the Bowery, convinces himself that he's destined to save some woman he sees across the alley through their window who's always being mistreated by her big Bowser-like boyfriend,
yep.
Who takes mushrooms and like kills the guy
Definitely.
With a katana, and it ends with the cops hauling him away
Definitely.
And the woman going like, he's fucking nuts, I don't know, he's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
Definitely.
A good movie right there.
It's Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
It's like exactly Taxi Driver. Yes. Like it's a great movie.
It's a me, a Taxi Driver.
You looking at me, Mario?
Are you talking to a me? You must be talking to me.
I don't see anybody else around.
They didn't put a Waluigi into this one. Oh, I'm losing my Italian accent. That, thank you. You saved it. That's the specifically... the triple jump sound, isn't it?
Yes. They see Mario didn't. Mario never really spoke. I don't think until Mario 64.
Right. That's where we found out
that he has like a sweet,
that he
cute little voice,
like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. That's
he
right.
does.
Yeah, that is accurate. It's also where he became less portly and more sort of cute miniaturized.
Yeah.
You know.
I think
because Mario World, he's still kind
I
of.
I do think his design is influenced quite literally by the Disney style of art.
Of course,
yeah, and that's fine.
Looking at the current Smash Brothers, they give him like a white glow, and you notice that,
yeah.
Like he has like a weird white edging to everything that makes him like
Jesus
glow.
Of the Nintendo
it's
universe.
Really like, come on, guys!
It's like all the other characters have to be like, "Shh, Mario's got."
Yeah, it's
Mario's
really dumb. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't care for that.
Oh, by the way, I refuse to look it up. If anyone knows why in Spirits mode of Smash Brothers Ultimate, you have a slight rainbow glow around your body, even when your final Smash
yeah,
is
what's
not
up with
charged,
that?
Let us know in the comments.
I'm not
going
to look it up. I'm going to hope that one day I figure it out. I agree with that. Okay, so have you ever played a more fun platforming game than this? 2D?
Are
like,
you,
honestly.
Okay.
In your opinion.
The only things that come to mind are 3D. I would argue that Rayman Legends, the second one.
That's a really good game.
Approaches how fun it is,
it's
but
really
it
good.
Still doesn't reach how fun it is. It's like 95% as fun.
Yeah.
And, of course, it owes everything it is to Mario and came 20 years later. So
It's a little bit more whimsical. Like, the Rayman games are more
what
playful.
What I truly appreciate about Rayman is... these people love animation in a deep way in the way that I love animation.
Yeah.
It's like the prettiest animated game. Talk about parallax. There's like 30 layers of animation going
Rayman
on.
Rayman also incorporates something that Sonic did that Mario has never really done.
Where you constantly want forward momentum.
Yes, Rayman does that. Mario is the only game that was not determined to make you constantly have to move forward like that.
Unless you had the cape.
It wanted you to jump from place to place and make decisions.
The cape was the time when you were like, fuck, I have to run. This guy doesn't run great.
Yeah.
You kind of really realize he's a middle-aged plumber when you're trying to run with him.
But you could get really good enough at
he
Mario
jumps
that
like
you could
a motherfucker.
Yeah, that you could like really be in the air the whole time. Like, if you got really good at Mario, you could do that.
Even in Mario 3, there's that famous 11-minute speedrun where the dude never touches the ground. It's
which
amazing.
Which is like, when you go back and play those levels.
So
like,
awesome.
Oh my God, how did he do that? Yeah.
Speaking of how jumpy he is, I do think it certainly wasn't the first, and it obviously just cemented the tradition, but it's just interesting to me to observe in the present how we're finally easing off the idea that if you're a video game character, for no reason, you jump as high as your body. Like, you jump 6 feet into the air.
You have
Do you know what I mean?
Jump an amount that is fun to look at.
That used to be sacrosanct.
Right.
Like, it would be super weird if the character didn't jump as high as their head.
It would be weird. Yeah.
And now I think we're finally easing off that pedal. And, it's something that Donkey Kong Country doesn't get enough credit for, because when you play Donkey Kong Country, I think one of the things you'll notice if you play a lot of 2D platformers is at first it feels slow and clunky, much like a giant ape, because you're like, you don't jump as quite as high or as far as I feel like I'm used to in these games.
It's kind of horizontal. That game's kind of horizontal.
Then you slowly realize, but that's okay, the levels are built for that distance of jump.
Right.
And this game is more about, what if we made a 2D platformer that drove ahead? Because Mario is about going upwards.
Up and forward. I mean, like,
up and forward, but like his jump, I mean, fucking Jumpman is how this all started.
Right.
His jump is his notable attribute.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think Donkey Kong's notable attribute is moving forward. I'll save that for a more in-depth Donkey Kong Country episode.
We should talk about Donkey Kong at some point.
I guess. Yeah. I feel like it would be a meaty 30-minute episode, but I don't know how you'd get an hour out of it.
I mean, you and I can get an hour out of it. Believe
All
you
right.
me. We'll figure that out. Yeah.
I mean, if I kind of don't even want to approach it, we think what we think about Donkey Kong, right? Like,
I like Donkey Kong.
No, but I mean, his creation.
Oh, that he's racist?
He's not okay, right? Like, it's not a,
so you and I were having
a cool guy.
You and I were having this argument off camera at some point, and my contention was, because he's derivative of King Kong, and King Kong is a racist stereotype, that he's kind of a racist stereotype. But
sure,
the case beyond that gets tough to make, I think. I mean, he's like a jazz musician, so I guess there's that. But
yeah.
Beyond that, like, what else is there?
There's, if you look online, there's a lot of evidence.
Oh, is there more?
But I'll bring it up.
Okay,
but it is like conspiracy theory evidence. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
It's evidence where you're like, sure, or that was a coincidence. You know, it could go either way.
Okay.
But
no, it's not dismissible.
I don't think it's easily dismissible.
That's a bummer.
And I do think Japanese culture has a blind spot for racism against African Americans.
That seems
in their
like
art.
In
it has,
oh, really?
I've witnessed. Well, so do we. I mean, America releases shit that we have to go, oh, that's hella racist. I didn't know.
I mean, I'm not going to be the one to throw the first stone on that, but nonetheless, I agree that if it's not dismissible, that's a real problem. Like, that's a bummer. So maybe we won't talk
about it. It's such a bummer. I feel like it's ruined this episode of the podcast.
No.
Do you have any other Super Mario World observations to bring us out of the funk before we wrap up?
I like that the piranha plants were less frustrating in this game. Like, they just toned things down so that they're fun.
And yet the game still feels like it has ups, peaks and valleys of challenge, and that it's long. It doesn't feel...
They also have characters that Nintendo has started to care about more than you'd think they would. Like, for instance, that football character.
I forgot to bring him up. He's my least favorite addition
I
to
never
the Mario
liked
verse
him.
Ever. I hate facing him. He
I don't
sucks.
Like him either. But then they brought him back for Odyssey, and that was weird. It's like, oh, you brought this guy back. Like,
well,
you
now,
really care about this.
I think Smash Brothers Ultimate makes it clear that at this point,
everything's
Nintendo
canon.
Is obsessed with their own history and legacy.
Right.
Like, Smash Brothers Ultimate is like, you think you're Nintendo fans? We're Nintendo fans.
We know everything.
Yeah.
We've kept every fucking thing.
Remember Sheriff and Sheriff 2? That's right, you don't. And we're going to give him a good power, so you have to look up what he's from, motherfuckers. We're Nintendo.
Remember Dark Mr. Game & Watch? Because you can play him.
Is there a
no,
dark?
I'm just saying, like that's such a Smash Brothers thing.
Remember classic Nintendo staple Bayonetta? She's
they
back.
Bayonetta.
And she brought Incineroar with her.
What? And they both fight
for you now.
He
defected. Incineroar is on your side.
Boy, Incineroar has gotten more mic time out of my mouth than I ever thought he would get.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Speaking of mic mouth time, you're out of it. This is the end of the episode.
Wow. So you want to keep this game, right?
We moved past our last checkpoint. Which is
keep or delete?
No, I know. I'm trying to think of a good juicy one.
Right through that sunken ship. Remember that sunken ghost ship?
Oh yeah, very special level. Yeah, it also had the audacity to have standout levels that you're like, yeah, that level is a unique experience unto itself.
And yet, you can't really differentiate the lands that much in Super Mario World.
Yeah,
the lands
true.
All kind of blend together.
Oh my god, the giant N64 eel is coming. We better hurry up.
Yeah.
I guess I'll keep it.
Duh. Yeah, I'm going to keep it. I can't think of a way to improve this game. Can you think of a way you would want it to be improved?
Yeah. A glaring one that everyone who's heard the podcast can guess.
Is this a story problem?
If I were allowed to go back in time and like buckle down with my fave writing team, and I think we could come up with a cohesive story of interesting plot elements that had all the same functionality, but was...
So you just add some story.
Cohesive and not stupid and random. Okay. I would like it if Mario was not an assortment of random items.
Yeah.
But that's really my only gripe that I'll ever have with Mario games.
Except for Sunshine.
And I'm like beating a dead pixelated horse because everyone has known that. You know, everyone's done the sketch about, isn't it crazy how Mario's just crazy?
Right.
Yeah, we know.
Right. When every time I beat this game and like play the music and just watch all the shit in it, though, for some reason that gets emotional. And
emotional.
Like, it does. It gets like nostalgic. No.
No. Keep going.
No, it does.
Keep
it gets
going.
Like a weird nostalgia.
I feed on your emotions.
I'm going to drink you. Drink your nostalgia. No, it's like a little bit nostalgic to watch all the things you just played against, and they are nonsensical, and they parade them in front of you that way.
But you're saying it's interesting just in the sense of, it's like, you know the opening credits for My Neighbor Totoro?
No.
Okay, well, they are just a parade. Like literally the border as the credits play is a cute little parade in, do you know what chibi is versus anime? Yeah.
Yes.
Of like chibi versions of all little collectible cute Funko Pop versions of all the characters you're about to see.
Oh.
So if like me, Totoro's a favorite, you know, like Disney's Robin Hood or whatever, anytime after the first time you watch it, you're so emotional in the opening credits because you're like, look at cute little May, look at cute little chibi Totoro. Like,
what an interesting choice.
They present little collectibles of what you're about to see, like a visual overture almost. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's true. You do see the beginnings of the let's make toys out of this overtly.
And I think
in
the
this
end
game.
Of that is Smash Brothers Ultimate, where it feels like I purchased a hutch of miniatures. Like it's a collection of miniature Nintendo figurines.
And like a really cool platform to play with them on. Like, you know, like that's it.
Like a Mighty Max playset with action missiles and shit.
Mighty Max. Thank you. Like the Technodrome.
I miss Mighty Max and Polly Pocket. I watched both.
Yeah, I seen Polly Pocket. That's
I didn't have a lot of school chums who straddled the line.
Interesting.
Polly Pocket, Mighty Max divide.
Wow.
I'm just super woke like that, bro.
You've been woke, you're staying woke.
Let me ask you this. In Super Mario World, is there only one iteration of the shirtless turtle who's shirtless when you first see him and then crawls into a shell that becomes a rainbow in like invincible shell. Does that ever happen again? Because you played it more recently.
I don't remember it happening in later games at all.
No, no. Even within Super Mario World.
It happens. It can happen at any time.
There are other anytime invincible turtles?
Anytime a shirtless turtle gets back into its shell, it can become invincible.
Oh, I always thought that was some random moment, no. Like the fucking koalas in Super can't Metroid. Get back in. And I was like, what is that rainbow invincible turtle? Is that a key to a cheat or
no,
something?
No, you kick that guy out. You got to keep him out.
See, that just means every time I played, I've never let a turtle back in their home.
Yeah, you've just taken their home from them.
I'm an effective turtle evictor.
Yeah.
Well, if you get a loose shell, don't you immediately feel a pull towards it?
Oh, yeah. Because
that's one of your more powerful weapons in the game.
Thing.
You're booting that shit. Yeah.
It is really satisfying to kick things in this game.
When you realize you can throw shells up.
Yeah.
And your brain immediately solves 8 puzzles you saw previously. You're like, oh, now I can do that and that and that.
I think you could do that in Mario 3.
Cool.
I think you could do it in Mario 3.
Yeah, it's cool either way.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thanks for holding down the knowledge part, because I've played it 3 or 4 times, but not for years.
It's hard to distinguish between, because those are the two best of that genre, the 2D Mario genre.
I see the promise in one. I still replay one and feel like it's like watching Eraserhead, where you're like, you can see the promise
one
in this filmmaker.
Definitely the most creative of all the Marios, because it's everything. Like the genes of the entire franchise.
They invented the genre of 2D platforming when all they had before was the arcade game Donkey Kong. Like, they thought, what if we stacked these left to right, bear with me, man, infinitely, and you just ran to the right. You know, like, it's a
I like
whole
how mad they are.
It's a whole different game. It's
but
amazing.
Also, if you go through and play all those levels in Mario 1, it's like they had a lot of good ideas. So many. Yeah, not even the types, but just like the mechanics of various versions of this. It's really impressive. Anyway.
A tale for another day.
Another day.
We out. Incineroar, no!
Work complete.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.